This is CliffCentral.com.
Daniel Mosboka is a freelance journalist, advisor for Reporters Without Borders, and he spoke to us this morning in Berlin about the controversial NetzDG, which is a German law on data collecting. And he was chosen as one of the top 30 under 30 young journalists in Germany in 2016. He certainly taught us a lot of things this morning. What is NetzDG for South African audiences who might not understand it?
The NetzDG is the German legislative approach to force social networks to delete content. And basically it says a social network like Facebook, like Twitter, like YouTube have to delete illegal content as soon as possible, mostly between within 24 hours. And if they fail, they have to pay fines. Strategically, up to 50 million euros.
Wow.
Which is a lot, which even a giant like Facebook wants to avoid. the discussion here in Germany very much deals with the problem that this law gives a private company that wants to make money, that it gives this private company an financial incentive, so to speak, to delete. There's a benefit, a financial benefit to delete content, mm-hmm. but there's, on the other side, no right to appeal for users to say, hey, Facebook, this was wrong. Please review it again, for example.
So this is obviously being used by other countries as a template because all governments all over the world are trying to find ways to develop regulatory frameworks for social media. Has it been taken up as is by any other countries? Are there countries that are copying it, making their own fine adjustments to it?
Yes. So we saw only a few weeks after it passed the German parliament that it was copied by Russia. It is
Russia.
Now
Russia.
Yes.
Russia, the father of fake news.
It is copied by the Philippines, I know. So this approach is really like copied more and more, like pushing the social networks in the position that they have to judge is it correct or not. And if they fail systematically, they have to pay. The problem is not so much, I think, the fact that a state wants to do something about hate speech because we have illegal content, mm-hmm. and state has to also create a framework in which people are willing to share their knowledge and to share their words. And in an atmosphere where it's only illegal content, you don't feel comfortable in talking. So I think there is a need for states to do something. But the problem is that these processes we're implementing here are completely private. And the question whether something is illegal or not has always been a question for judges, for example. Mm-hmm. So for an independent force. And we don't have independent bodies in these systems. So it's completely a privatization of the whole thing with the financial benefit to delete. And this is, I think, from a freedom of expression perspective, a bad development because it's not balancing enough.
You did say something interesting, and this touches on a lot of the things that we've dealt with in South Africa after the last while. There is a difference between things that are illegal content and things that are just hate.
Yes. So what we saw, though, one part of the law are...
Hate is not illegal.
Hate is not illegal, yeah. We know now a bit more about the law and about the consequences of the law. So the first so-called transparency reports were published a few weeks ago here in Germany. And we know now, okay, how many postings on Facebook were reported and how many were deleted. Mm-hmm. And for example, for Twitter, more than 260,000 tweets were reported as being illegal, but only 11% of these 260,000 were deleted, which shows us that a lot of people have the feeling, and I personally, I also have this feeling sometimes, oh, what is this discourse being so rude and being so aggressive? Mm. And it's not okay that people say this, but we have to say, yes, it is. In many, many ways, it is allowed to say something, and hate is not a crime. So I think this law and the consequences of the law shows us very much that the atmosphere of the online conversation and the aggressive style, so to speak, of the online environment cannot be fought by crimes or by criminal law only. Mm-hmm. Because it is deeper. Like, it is like, yeah, it is a mixture of so many things, and states do at the moment this, what they already have, a criminal code system, and they try to implement it in this new environment. Yeah.
I'm also curious about the differences that you picked up between Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter when it comes to the number of reported posts and the number that were actually taken down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that for Twitter and YouTube, there were, based on the NetzDG, around about 260,000 postings reported, and on Facebook it were not even 2,000.
Hmm. Why is that?
It's because the first reason for this difference is that Facebook makes it very hard for users to report on base of the NetzDG. It's very easy to say,
community standards.
Yeah, I think, hey, Facebook, I think this content is against your community standards. Please delete it. But it's very hard to say it's against the NetzDG. Mm-hmm. This is much easier on YouTube and Twitter. They only have to say, yeah, I think it's against the NetzDG, which explains why the numbers are so different. But for all the three services, it's important, and this leads us, I think, to the most important question. All the platforms said, we first make a decision based on our community standards. Mm-hmm. And our community standards allow us to delete legal content. So people always think that they have a right, a human right, so to speak, to say something on Facebook. That's not the case. It's a private company. In accepting the terms of service, I also accept the community standards. And the community standards can say it's not allowed to publish pictures that contain nudity. Mm-hmm. Although it would be legal in that country.
Yeah, but I mean, in the park yesterday, we saw lots of people lying around naked. That wouldn't be acceptable on Facebook.
Yeah, the likeliness that they deleted is high. And this brings us to the companies now use the community standards to, so to speak, delete all the gray to be absolutely sure that there's no illegal content anymore, so that they don't have to pay. Mm-hmm. And this shows us why there's a need to independent oversight. Like, it's not that I don't say Facebook has no obligation to do something against hate speech at all. They can enforce their community standards, but these community standards needs to be in line with freedom of expression. And there needs to be independent ways for people to say, no, I think you were wrong. And then it needs to be checked and double-checked by an independent authority. This is where we should go. Mm-hmm. And I also see political discussions moving to this. But this leads us to questions that are so big where we don't have the political institutions for. So it would say people have a human right to say something on Facebook would mean in the end to change the legal
definition
position
Facebook,
and the legal definition Facebook has in a private company to a private company that also is kind of a private good. And I don't see any political institution in the globe that has the power to force Facebook in this direction. I just don't see it. This is the core problem, and sadly I don't have an answer to that, and I think nobody has, because it is implausible that we will have soon a political institution on a global scale that has the power that these economic services have. And this is so that the trend globally is more going more again to a national, so not cooperation is the thing of these days, but like national thinking, so to speak. And this is, I think this is exactly the wrong direction we're going at the moment. We need more cooperation, but we have less.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much.
This is CliffCentral.com.